Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Myles Garrett, let's talk about it. Johnny wants out of Cleveland. And why not Detroit?
Oh, Charlie, you don't have to convince me. And the question is, well, let's go back to the trade deadline. And we were all talking about Max Crosby, and Mike was trying to get TJ to text Max and say, hey,
TJ,
you know,
failed
TJ failed us, all that stuff. But then we did find out, it was reported, sources told us, that Brad Holmes did make the call to see if Max was available. So you know it's at least a part of the conversation. Maybe he's having the same dream in regards to what would it take to sit and look at Myles Garrett opposite Aiden Hutchinson with Aleem McNeil in the middle. DJ Reader solidifying things against the run. All of a sudden, you've got Alex Anzalone, Jack Campbell, a healthy Derek Barnes. Boy, that front seven looks pretty badass.
And those corners don't have to cover quite as long either.
Who do you double on that defensive front? Like, John, you played offensive line in the league. How do you deal with that?
That'd be a nightmare. I mean, you'd have to bring in tight ends. You have to bring in running backs. I mean, you limit your options downfield because you're so worried about just keeping your quarterback healthy, keeping him upright, and getting the ball off.
So instead of five guys in a route, it's only four. And they
or
may have
three.
To be, or three, and they may have to be shallow routes again. And now you can press up and play the man coverage that the Lions want to play. It would be amazing. And I don't want to be flippant about this. Oh, just trade all your first round picks. But for a player like Myles Garrett, it's justifiable. The guy has 100 sacks. He's in the prime of his career. He's a four-time All-Pro. He's won Defensive Player of the Year.
Reigning Defensive Player of the Year.
Until they hand out the award. Yeah, you're right. He is the reigning Defensive Player of the Year. He is in the shortlist of guys who might be better than Aiden Hutchinson, right? Like, we're talking about the two or three best pass rushers in the sport. How do you say no to that for a team that needs just a little more oomph to get to the quarterback? The teams that win the Super Bowl tend to have really good fronts. What are we talking about? We're talking about first-round picks, plural. We're talking about pick 28 and pick 32 and some sweetener. And keep in mind, if you go, oh, those are late firsts, Myles Garrett wants to win a Super Bowl. Many of the teams that will be trying to trade for him will also be offering up late first-round picks. The Lions can put a competitive offer together. He signed the next two seasons. Great. Worry about an extension, but you got 2 years to win a Super Bowl. You know you can't keep everybody, so win with everybody who's here right now. I don't know that you're going to keep everybody after the next two seasons. You're going to work out an extension for Aiden, which, by the way, doesn't kick in over the next 2 years. An extension for Branch, an extension for Laporta, for Gibbs, for these guys that won't kick in the next two seasons. J-Mo, you have a chance to win right now. And to give up two first-round picks doesn't mean you have to stop drafting and developing. Guys, do you know who the general manager of this football team is? He found an all-pro in the third round, Kirby Joseph. He found an all-pro in the fourth round, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Maybe you guys don't trust him enough. I give up the two firsts in a heartbeat. And in terms of what it will take, Diana Rossini talked to an NFC or an NFL general manager who said it's not going to take three firsts. It's going to take a first plus. I'd offer two firsts, get the deal done, and move on.
You also, okay, he wants to go to a Super Bowl contender. And so that limits the options. I don't know how much the Browns will limit their options in trying to accommodate Myles Garrett. And maybe they get an extra first that they wouldn't get from a team that's not necessarily a contender. So if you're just talking about the Raiders, is this year's, you know, what do they pick, third? I can't remember what it is.
It's funny. We don't have to worry about the draft.
Right. But I mean, a top six pick. Yeah. I can't remember exactly. They're six. Yeah. I said that because I thought they were six. Yeah. So you'd have top six pick. Next year, probably not going to be in the upper 20s, but better than they are now.
But they're not chasing a Super Bowl. They're not a destination.
Right, but okay, do the Browns have to accommodate Myles Garrett?
I guess they don't have to, John, but
he doesn't have, as we understand it, a no-trade clause. He doesn't have to agree to actually go. Now, maybe he can, you know, he could put a power play in place where, no, I'm not going to show up. I'm not going to play for, you know, this team, whatever team that might be. But so if they do go and say, we're going to trade you to a team that has the ability in the next couple of years to win a Super Bowl, also has to be a team that has enough cap space to handle them. Now, his cap number is not...
Yeah, let's go over
this. Out of this world.
The team that trades him, Cleveland, is going to bite a lot of the bonus money as a hard cap hit for them. The cap hit for Myles Garrett next year is $19 million. Super easy for the Lions to squeeze that in. It's $20 million the year after. That's when Goff's deal hits and St. Brown's deal hits, and you'll restructure some deals.
And he probably wants an extension as well.
And then that's where it gets a little messier. But I would contend it was always going to get messy from that point on. So take your swing right now. And still draft and develop with your seconds, your thirds, your fourths, your fifths. They have capital beyond their firsts. I can't take you seriously if you don't want to win the Super Bowl. Like, what's the point? Some people want to win their third Super Bowl before they win their first. Well, I'm sorry that we're not prioritizing the 2028 Detroit Lions today. I feel like it's your responsibility to strike while the iron's hot and win a Super Bowl so you're not left feeling the way we're feeling, where you fall just short. How many years are we going to do this before we decide, you know what? These first-round picks aren't worth it. We need the all-pro. We need maybe the best pass rusher in all of football.
So I bring up the, you got to have the picks. You've got to have the cap space to fit him in as is. And if you throw in there teams that are going to be contending for a Super Bowl title, it limits the possibilities for Cleveland to make those trades with. And that's why, for Cleveland to make those trades with. I'm looking at the cap space because the Patriots have the most cap space. He is one of the teams that was in an article that I read that might be in the play for Myles Garrett. They have the most cap space available. They're an awful team right now.
Sure.
New coach, although it's a coach with a defensive mind, it's a coach with Terrell Williams, we know is a really good defensive line coach. So maybe there is a pull to New England. And the fact that they could not only accommodate his cap number this year, next year, they could also accommodate a massive, very healthy extension.
Yeah.
The Raiders have the second most cap space. Commanders, third most cap space. And this is where you start to get a little bit worried because we talk about Jaden Daniels and having to go, you know, face him on a regular basis in the playoffs to be able to reach the Super Bowl. We already lost to him once as a rookie. I think he's going to continue to improve.
John, on that note, that is the fear. If the Lions don't trade for Myles Garrett and he ends up on a contender, you will face him in an elimination game in the playoffs.
You know who else also has plenty of cap space, effective cap space going into the 2025 season? A couple of, I think, possible landing spots.
Yeah.
The Bears.
Okay. Not a Super Bowl contender.
The Vikings.
Sure.
want to face him twice?
No, I don't want to face him twice. The Packers, another team that could add him, right? The
Packers are just under where the Lions are in terms of available cap space. They've got $4 million less, but they still have plenty of space.
They could swing.
Niners? Sure. You think they would swing for the fences?
Well, and they have a higher first-round pick because they underachieved this year.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are some concerns that even if you offer two firsts and you throw in a third, you try and sweeten the pot as much as possible, the Browns right now need as much cheap talent as possible. The best way to get cheap talent is in the draft.
Especially because they're probably going to have a rough 2025 year. They're going to wait for more of this money to get off the books.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe have a new general manager sooner rather than later. You're going to want the draft capital to rebuild this thing.
How about the Chargers?
Yeah, I saw them mentioned.
They're a team that has, you know, they went through a little bit of a cap decisions last year and got rid of offensive talent. And now they are sitting with $55 million in available effective cap space going into this offseason.
So you brought up the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Jim, they're not a Super Bowl contender. They do have they have a 10th pick in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a young quarterback. They're not paying him yet. And they own picks 10, 39, and 41. I don't think the Lions can offer that.
No, they can't. They're not even close to that.
No matter what you try to do with capital, the Bears' offer is going to be better. I think another alarming thing people better get a hold of here a little bit with the Browns is that I think there are a few players on the Lions roster that the Lions would be willing to give up and that the Browns would want, meaning a marriage that would fit. The Browns want nothing to do with anybody that has money, okay? So anybody that's getting paid, you can forget about that. They also don't want, I don't think they would be interested in Branch or Joseph. These are guys that are due money. I don't know, without getting them to agree to a long-term contract, I don't think the Browns would want those players. They're just going to lose them. Like, yeah. To me, the Browns either want a player they've got control of for several years, and I think the top candidate on the Lions is Jack Campbell.
Sure.
Cheap.
I'd trade him.
And you can control him.
I'd trade him.
And other than that,
I don't want to be clear. I like Jack Campbell, but for Myles Garrett, yeah, come on.
Other than that, I don't think there's many attractive players. So you say, well, people are saying, let's throw in a player. Let's throw in J-Mo. Is J-Mo going to resign with the Browns? Why would they take that? They would rather have a pick. So that they can have that. That's what's, I think, going to be really hard for the Lions to accomplish here. It's going to take minimum three picks in my mind. That's where I think that GM's wrong. I don't know what players the Browns would be attracted
to. Well, it could also be a GM that's trying to lower be out the there market. And depress the market a little bit.
So let me just give you what two respected people have floated out there. The first we'll use is Adam Schefter, who cites the Khalil Mack trade. When he was traded from Oakland to Chicago, the Bears gave up two first-round picks, a third, and a sixth. They got Mack, a second, and a conditional fifth back. I'd do that today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any objections here in the studio? Okay, any objections on the ticket text?
But I also think it might take more than that because I think Myles Garrett is greater than Khalil Mack at that time.
He was also younger.
Yeah.
And, boy, Khalil Mack did take the league by storm, though.
Yeah, he was
very,
yeah.
very good. Yeah, and then there's what Diana Russini said, which was after talking to an NFL general manager. You know, this wasn't like, you know, a low-level scout. This was an NFL general manager that it wasn't going to take three first-round picks. So people who go, the Lions shouldn't give up three first-round picks and throw away their future. That is not believed at all to be what the cost would be. So the full context says probably a one-plus, not happening to the 3-1s crowd. A one, a two, a one, and two threes, throw a player in, that type of structure is what is expected for Myles Garrett. Now, bidding war, maybe it goes up a little bit, which is why I said two ones and a sweetener. Two ones and a sweetener.
Right, two ones and Campbell. You going to do that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the guys who I wouldn't trade is a small list. The guys I would trade, it's a much bigger list. I'd trade David Montgomery, right?
Sure.
I would too. I don't think they're interested. I mean, they have Chubb. They also have four?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Their run game underachieved this season. But I mean, I'm just throwing out guys that are good players that I like for the Lions. My point, though, is they wouldn't be bolted down if Myles Garrett was available.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
But, you know, a story broke yesterday that Myles Garrett was demanding a trade out of Cleveland. And the belief is this is not an effort to get himself a new contract. Like, he really wants out of Cleveland. And he has said that he wants to go play for a Super Bowl contending team. And I can think of a team.
Can you?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
The Athletic actually did something very interesting. I thought this was a fun exercise. 10 Garrett needy teams put together trade options, and then the Browns beat writer would mull over the options and accept a deal.
I like this idea. I like this exercise.
Now, what we're not going to do is give you all 10 trade options. We would lose the audience. There's a lot of draft picks involved. I think it would get rather lengthy and boring. It appears as though he came down to five, considered five of them, when it was all said and done. We start with the Buffalo Bills offer. The Buffalo Bills writer for The Athletic offers a 2025 first, which is 30 behind Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Their second round pick this year, which is 62. A fourth round pick this year. Their first round pick next year.
Oh, wow.
Defensive end A.J. Epineza.
Okay, wow.
And cornerback Kair Elam.
That is a lot to give up.
For Myles Garrett, a third round this year.
Okay.
And a sixth rounder next year.
That's a hefty price.
That is a hefty price.
That's two starters on defense, two first round picks, a second and a fourth. And you have to give up a third? That's a lot. That's a heavy price.
Yep. I was like, that was one of the first offers I read, and I'm like,
that's going to be tough to beat.
It's going to be tough to beat.
Because Epineza's good, and Elam's good.
Well, Elam's had to play more because of injury, but yeah, I mean, this is a, I would imagine that they would be playing and starting in Chicago. They would then have two first-round picks each of the next 2 years. It feels like a franchise re-energizing.
The Bears have had a lot of draft capital in the last couple of years here.
The
Bears. Did you say the Bears?
No, it was Buffalo.
Buffalo, I'm sorry.
Buffalo made the trade. I'm getting to the Bears proposal now.
That's where I was mistaken.
The Bears proposal for Myles Garrett is their first-round pick this year at 10.
Mm.
Their second-round pick this year at 41, and their first-round pick next year.
Wow.
For Myles Garrett. So better draft picks this year. So that would give That would give Cleveland two picks in the top 10 this year.
I would do that trade over the Buffalo trade.
Would you?
Yeah, because it's the higher, they're higher picks.
Okay.
Much higher picks. The good thing about the Buffalo deal, though, is you're getting the players. There's no players involved here. But it probably, my initial reaction is I'd lean towards the Bears deal over the Bills deal. Next one.
Next trade. These are done alphabetically. These are the ones that also were apparently the finalists. Detroit.
Okay.
The Detroit offer, according to The Athletic, is this year's first at 28. This year's third. Next year's first. And quarterback Hendon Hooker. In return, the Lions get Myles Garrett and a 2026 fourth round pick.
You know, I love Hendon Hooker, but I'd give him up in a heartbeat to land Myles Garrett.
I think everybody would.
So this is two firsts, a third, and Hendon Hooker?
For
a third.
Garrett and a fourth.
And a fourth? Yeah, yep. I'd do it. Yep. Absolutely. Because, again, all I care about at this point is winning a damn Super Bowl. This team is so talented, and you're giving up a player off your roster in Hendon Hooker that hasn't contributed to winning a Super Bowl. Not that he's a bad player, because I think he's got a really bright future. But so I haven't given up anything that's affected the Lions in this trade. And I'm getting Myles Garrett. Yep, thank you.
Next up, the Chargers offer for Myles Garrett. A first this year at 22, a third this year, and Joey Bosa for Myles Garrett.
If I were Cleveland, I'd say absolutely not. Because Bosa's oft injured, and I'm only getting one first-round pick.
You're getting a first and a third this year in Joey Bosa.
No, thank you. Not nearly enough. Now, this is what's interesting, because these are people in the media are doing this, right?
These are writers for The Athletic, their proposal.
So remember what Diana Rossini said that a GM told her. Was it, these people are going to, I can't wait for all the takes of let's give him three first-round picks. He said, this is going to be a first-round plus. And so far, before the first three offers, Buffalo, Chicago, and Detroit all involved two first-round picks, correct?
Yep.
And then some, and a lot in other cases. This is the first one that's only offering up one first-round pick, but it's also offering up Joey Bosa. Interesting.
Next, the Washington Commanders offer for Myles Garrett.
Oh, boy.
Their first-round pick this year at 29, their first-round pick next year, offensive tackle Brandon Coleman, and defensive tackle Deron Payne.
Wow.
For Garrett, a fifth this year and a sixth next year.
Interesting. I don't think it's the draft capital is good enough for Cleveland to say, yeah, I'd do that. Deron Payne's really good, but Deron Payne's also a ton of money you're taking on. I'd probably decline that one.
Okay, so those are the five. The Cleveland writer basically said it comes down to these five offers. Other teams that made, Indianapolis was in there with an offer. Atlanta was in there with an offer. Green Bay was in there with an offer. But none of them, the writer was interested in. I can't remember who else was in there, but that was the five finalists.
So I think it's interesting because Chicago has the highest draft picks.
Yep.
And when you're talking about giving up pick number 10, pick number 41, and the next year's first, was that the other part of it? I think Chicago was two firsts and a third, or two firsts and a second. They're high picks.
Yep.
Those high picks in this draft are important, and then you're getting next year's first-round pick. So Myles Garrett on the Bears with a rookie quarterback and a first-year head coach, is that a playoff team or not? Could be. Could very well be if they do that.
So here's the thing about this, is that this is not a – Chicago's not a Super Bowl contender, and Myles Garrett wants to go to a Super Bowl contender, right? So is this actually – would that actually be in play? Can you get him to agree to that trade?
Well, that's a great point to bring up.
Yep.
I mean, look, if I were Chicago, I would sell like hell saying, absolutely, we've got the right coach now. We've got all these offensive players in place. We've got great defensive players in place, and we're adding you. Yes, we are a Super Bowl contending team. But from the outside looking in, you're going to a team that didn't make the playoffs, and you're in a division that is the toughest division in football.
It's a leap of faith.
Yeah, I'll pass on the Bears if you're Myles Garrett.
Yep.
I don't think it's as hard to sell Chicago as it is other teams. I think if you have a quarterback on your team, you could sell a lot of free agents, a lot of players that, hey, we're in contention. Because I think the ultimate goal is the Super Bowl, of course, but how do you get the ultimate goal? You get into the tournament. That's what a lot of coaches, Dan Campbell says it all the time, get us in the tournament and we can make noise. You literally saw the Commanders come in with a brand new coach and a brand new quarterback more than make some noise this past year, right? And so it may seem unlikely, and I agree with you guys there. I think you could sell the Bears to Myles Garrett. It's not like selling the Raiders or someone. You don't even have a team that has no future quarterback or no current quarterback on their team. I think this list, though, that you're doing, Doug, and this information with these trade proposals tells you, in all Lions fans, you have competition if this guy hits the market for real. It's not just, hey, here's two first-rounders, it's over and done with, easy peasy.
Right.
You know, there's going to be other teams going after him as well.
All right, fun little exercise they did in The Athletic where all the beat writers of Myles Garrett needy teams put together trade proposals to get Myles Garrett, defensive player of the year, caliber player, edge rusher from the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, these writers said, okay, this would make sense for the team I cover. And then they proposed him, and the Browns beat writer can accept one, or I guess he can reject them all. He writes, Chicago offers tempting because the Browns could immediately show their fans and ownership group a rebuild that includes four of the first 41 picks this year, plus a first rounder next year. That offer is simply a lot better than many of the others. So again, that's Chicago's pick at 10, their second round pick on their first rounder next year. That would give them four of the first 41 picks this year and two first rounders next year. Yeah, that would be attractive. And you like that trade from a Browns perspective. Regarding the Detroit trade, the Hooker addition makes Detroit's deal intriguing, but a backup quarterback isn't going to be enough here. New England could probably have added Joe Milton and another player to get into the bidding. New England had a proposal that wasn't a finalist. Buffalo, and Detroit's offer was a first and a third this year and a first next year and Hendon Hooker for Garrett and a fourth next year. Buffalo, this was my favorite proposal if I were Cleveland. I think a first this year, a second this year, a fourth this year, a first next year, defensive end A.J. Epinesa and cornerback Kair Elam for Garrett, a third this year and a sixth next year. Nice offer by Buffalo, including Rousseau. Forget about the Amari Cooper swap and call us back tomorrow. For the Chargers deal, if you missed the Chargers deal earlier,
The problem I have with that Buffalo deal, for Cleveland's sake,
yeah,
is that those draft picks, the first round picks, it's great to get multiple first round picks, but it'd be the same thing the Lions are going to give you. It's a late first round pick. It's really hard to get jazzed about that. But they did throw in players.
Yep.
But it's just not as enticing as other teams that hit draft higher.
So, yeah, I like the players. And that's why I do it. I like having some known commodities along with the draft picks, which are the unknown commodities. But next up, the Chargers deal, which was a first and a third this year, and Joey Bosa. He writes, as for the Chargers, I can't see the Browns being in the Joey Bosa business right now. Then he writes, I think Washington's offer is the best, given that Cleveland also needs youth across the offensive line. Washington would be betting that a 2026 first rounder would again be a late pick, but I think the Browns certainly would want a 2026 first round selection. The Commanders might get it done if they'd also throw in a late 2026 pick and take cornerback Greg Newsome II and his fully guaranteed $13 million 2025 fifth-year option off the Browns' hands. So he likes the Washington offer the most. What this exercise does, as mentioned, is it implies that we can sit here and put together deals that we think make sense. What only thing that gets this done is being the best offer that they get.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody else is willing to go further, you're either A, out, or B, have to add. The Detroit picks of two firsts, a third, and Hendon Hooker are such a 1,000% yes for me from a Detroit perspective. I can't imagine that would be the best offer that they would get. I would have to think, well, if we're doing radio in Cleveland, I'd be like, this is the best offer, huh?
Here is, I mean, and this is the a sort of unknown factor in this with that offer for Cleveland. Detroit is the only team that we've mentioned there that's offering up a quarterback. Now, Hendon Hooker hasn't really played much, as we know, but he does have a huge upside. The player he was in college prior to getting hurt was going to win the Heisman Trophy until he got hurt. He was awfully good. He's played very sparingly in his first couple of years in the league because of recovering from that injury. And then this year, just because, fortunately, knocking on wood, that Jared Goff has been healthy for the Lions, that you don't need to use a backup quarterback. But it's an unknown commodity because you haven't seen him. You don't really know what he is. It's just a thought of how high his ceiling is. And if you're Cleveland, you need a quarterback. You're stuck right now for at least another year with a horrible situation at quarterback.
And your Watson's contract, which is, I think, a $72 million cap hit each of the next 2 years.
Now, you could draft one with the second overall pick that you have, but, I mean, I'm not in love with Cam Ward. I'm not in love with Shedeur Sanders, and I'm not in love with Jackson Dart. I think they're all good quarterbacks, but none of them scream to me like, oh, this guy is can't miss. And not that Hendon Hooker does either. But what Hendon Hooker would offer you, if I'm trying to sweeten this for Detroit's side, what he offers Cleveland is that, okay, he's completely healthy now. He's got a couple years under his belt of sitting on the sidelines, watching a team work with, and it's a team that has the best offense in football, that you might feel better about that. And I don't have to use a second pick overall on a quarterback. I can use that on either Abdul Carter, if he's there, to replace Myles Garrett, or I go out and take, you know, Travis Hunter, who's a two-way player, could be a great receiver or the best cover corner in college football here. I can use one of those and really kind of set myself forward.
Yeah, to me, personally, if I'm in Cleveland shoes, Hendon Hooker to me is not a commodity. He's a throw-in. He's not a player that I would have much of a... I'd be like, at the end, I'd be like, also, see if you can get Hendon Hooker. I wouldn't be building have him as a real piece I was think I was getting back.
Well, the unknown. You don't know what another organization thinks. You don't know how highly they regarded that player. They may say the same thing you're saying, or they may be more on where I'm at, where I think he still has huge upside, but he's getting blocked here in Detroit because Detroit's got a great quarterback.
Yeah, I look at a player who's 27 years old and has barely played, and I'm not sure that I can even – I would have to have loved him out of college, but even then – to have him sitting on the bench with very little evidence of what he can do in the NFL. Personally, I wouldn't have that much interest other than throw him in at the end kind of deal. Is he intriguing? Yeah. But given what they're going to want to do, I think they're going to draft a quarterback this year or next year. I think they're going to be like the Lions were when they traded for the two picks for Matthew Stafford. Is originally the thought was we're going to get a quarterback with one of these two picks. I think the likelihood of Hendon Hooker being able to answer the bell at quarterback the way Jared Goff did are very, very slim, but maybe they love him, right? So the funny thing is, as I looked at the feedback that came in, there was a lot of you've got to get Myles Garrett. If he's available, you have to get him. And I would say if he's available, you have to call. I would go that far. I wouldn't say if he's available, you have to get him. I want to take you back into the Wayback Machine to the trade deadline this year.
No, the Wayback Machine.
Yes. So we're going to go all the way back like two and a half months here. Do you remember the Mike Tannenbaum trade proposal?
I do.
From Myles Garrett? Mike Tannenbaum suggested...
I don't even want you to repeat it because it's uncomfortable.
Mike Tannenbaum suggested that Detroit, to get Myles Garrett, give up a 2025 first... a 2026 first, a 2027 first,
and
Jahmyr Gibbs for Myles Garrett. Can we all agree it's okay to walk away? It's okay to walk away. You're allowed to walk away. And I think we'd all have different sliding scale as to when you would walk away. But yeah, there's plenty of examples of walk away trade proposals. And that's why I could never say some of the feedback we saw yesterday. I mean, there were some people fully committed to making this happen, no matter what the cost. And I'm in the, it's okay to say no. Because I go back to something we said yesterday. They went 15-2 with half a defense. In theory, they're going to be getting all those guys back. Others will get hurt. They probably are going to have more luck next year with injuries. They already went 15-2 with a one seed and a strong Super Bowl contender without Myles Garrett. They will be better just by standing pat. They'll be better, let alone what they could do with a little bit of cap space and their draft capital. Which is why, again, I don't know that if I'm Detroit, I call, I ask, but if some of these offers come in, this becomes that make you have to really, really dig deep, I'm okay with walking away.
Well, I keep thinking about these are media offers, and if there are GMs out there saying that, look, this is unrealistic to think that you're going to get more than two first-round picks for the player, that it would be a one-plus. I'm conceding. I think it is two because if you're the Lions, because of where you're drafting, just like if Buffalo is going to go after it, because of where you're drafting, it would take two first-round picks. But I'm okay with that. Does the thought of just the number, ooh, two first, trump a 10th overall pick and the 41st overall pick? And then some? Probably not. But I want to do it. I'd love to, if the Lions are in that position and Cleveland is insisting it's two first-round picks for Myles Garrett and maybe a third-round pick or something like that, I got to do it. I got to do it because I think having a defense with both Aiden Hutchinson.
Wait a second. Two firsts and a third?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
I think having a defense, with, because that might be more realistic than what the than what's being bandied about here from the media. But having that defense with the two stud defensive ends so vastly improves what you do defensively. It's absolutely Super Bowl or bust. I understand what you're saying. And hey, just trying to stand pat with what you had from last year because everybody got hurt last year. Now, it would have been amazing to see a healthier Lions team against that Washington team, right? Would be awesome to see that.
Am I wrong for thinking if it's easy, it's not realistic?
If what's easy?
If it's an easy yes from Detroit's perspective, then it's not realistic. Like any proposal that we come up with is an easy yes for Detroit, it's probably not realistic.
I don't know because again, I'm thrown by what that GM said to Diana Rossini.
Yeah,
that's what kind of has me going, because I think the easy part for Lions fans and me included is the F them picks mentality because I think that's where they should be at now. If there's a player that falls from the sky, that guy, hell yeah. F them picks. Let's go get them. You know, the Rams had a screaming need at defensive back, and they said, F them picks. Get me Jalen Ramsey. You know, go get me Von Miller or whatever it was. They went for it, and they got a Super Bowl out of it. And I think the Lions are in a position right now where they can do the same if that player were to fall from the sky. And lo and behold, Doug, that player has fallen from the sky. Myles Garrett is available.
Yeah, I guess I'm fully convinced if it's easy, it's not realistic. I hope that GM is right, and if he is, I hope the Lions make a move on that. We'll get to your phone calls and feedback next, 97.1.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's Tuesday, and we're opening with something I can't even believe we have to open with, but here we sit. Look, I thought the Myles Garrett thing was pretty straightforward. Thought it was like pizza. Myles Garrett good, pizza good. I like Myles Garrett. I like pizza. Just didn't seem to be a big deal, but much like barnacles at the bottom of a boat or annoying fungi in your backyard, you do get a piece of the fan base that I guess doesn't want Myles Garrett. Kenny Cott assaulted the show sheet. Kenny also screens calls for the midday show, and Kenny was, well, fun word, gobsmacked at the phone calls he was screening about people who don't want Myles Garrett, don't need Myles Garrett, or use the ever annoying phrase, let Brad cook. I can't believe we're here. I want to give you a chance to tell me you lied to me, and I can move on to things that to me are much more interesting. But I'll play the Albert Breer stuff after I talk to Kenny, Rico. But what, before I go to Kenny, what, why am I here? What is this?
You're here because the people want to hear what you have to say, Mike.
Here's my message.
It's the other side of the coin. Not everybody feels like you need Myles Garrett. There are people who believe, you know what? We have all the pieces in place. We were just, you know, injuries away. This goes back to the stages of grief. You're still in that whole bargaining stage. If we just had all of our pieces and nobody got injured, we would have been okay. We would be playing and we'd be beating the Chiefs.
Well, that's a great opinion. Unfortunately, season's over. So now, how do we get better? He's a Hall of Fame player. Six-time All-Pro.
Here's how you know
people are stupid. The fact that I'm sitting here and have to have this conversation.
I was going to say, here's how you know that it's a big deal. When pretty much every city, not named Cleveland, is trying to come up with some type of a package in order to get this man.
And more specifically, every Super Bowl caliber team, you have people saying, easy move, you make the phone call. Yeah. Whether it's Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, whether it's every NFC contender. Albert Breer, before we get to Kenny, said Lions are the number one destination. Take a listen to what Albert Breer, why he believes that. David, it's Albert Breer, and I agree with him. Whoever you draft as your first-round pick won't start for this team. You got a couple extra picks from the Aaron Glenn hiring process, a couple of thirds. Well, what are we doing here? Kenny, you screen the calls. You've ruined the start of the show, so I want to start the show with you.
I'd like to start out by apologizing for ruining the nature of the show, this goodly show. But I wish I could tell you that all this is a lie and that these people, that some certain sects of this fan base weren't calling in and saying these things. But they are. There's the Let Brad Cook crowd, which I know you don't like to hear, but that's a very real part of this fan base.
Because it's dumb.
It is
dumb. It's like adults who believe in Santa Claus. It's dumb.
I agree. And then there's also this is the bigger narrative that comes, is when Hutch comes back, when the defense gets healthy, we won 15 games with a banged up defense. So we can win 15 games when they get healthy because they're going to be better. Mm-hmm. One problem. You lost both coordinators. And by the way, who's to say that this defense is going to be immediately healthy? David had a good point the other day when he said this is not like Madden. When your defense, when players get healthy, it's not just a snap of the finger. Oh, we're 100% now. We're back to running order. It doesn't work like that.
Also, everything you said can be true, but here's a news alert. None of that has anything to do with acquiring a first ballot Hall of Famer in his prime.
But the point,
2 years left on his deal.
The point that they would make, not me, them would make, is they say, why waste draft capital when you can be a 15-win team?
Can I ask how it's a waste? For the dumb people in the crowd, how is it a waste to acquire? There are two comps for Myles Garrett in my lifetime, Reggie White and prime Michael Strahan. Maybe J.J. Watt, okay?
Yeah, scoffing
at this. How is it a waste?
Scoffing at this makes no sense to me.
It is not me, but it's a waste because you believe that every year Holmes is going to go out there and get five or six starters out of every draft.
Oh, you like Terry Arnold?
So,
oh, like Rakestraw?
Yeah.
Like Broderick Martin?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, got it. Like Manu? Yeah, you want me to keep going? How about Hendon Hooker? Look, guys, it's not perfect. He's the best GM in football right now, and it's not perfect. It's Myles Garrett. It is a gold jacket player. Not at age 34. Not at age 32. Not at age 30. He's not a drunk. He's not a bad guy. Christ, he was up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. He plays the piano.
Just leave opposing helmets around him.
22 tackles for loss. An average of 15 sacks a year. Pull your head out of your ass.
what you are seeing, it's the we have all the pieces in place.
Okay.
We only got hurt because of the injuries. If we didn't have the injury factor, plus, as Kenny said,
but it
if
happened.
Hutchinson comes back, and but see, that's still a big if because you don't know how healthy he's going to be.
But that's the problem, too, is you can't guarantee no injuries. Injuries happen every single year to leg. Every single team.
Kenny, the fact he broke his leg, you don't know if it's going to be 100% when he comes back.
Now, how about Randy? Ollie McNeil might not be back for the start of the year? Anybody want to talk about that?
Am I wrong for saying it like this? I don't care if he comes back healthy or not. You still go get Myles Garrett.
Okay, you know what? F it. I stand with David Hall. I don't think any of the reasons these Nimrods are bringing up have anything to do with this. Okay, baseball. The Tigers have a really nice pitching staff. But if somehow, some way, or the Dodgers are the perfect example. What's better than more? More. I have Aiden. You know what's better than Aiden? Aiden and Myles Garrett. None of these things mean anything. I saw a trade proposal today under an article titled Myles Garrett Trade Proposals That Actually Make Sense. The Lions would give up their first and second round pick this year in Hendon Hooker. Where do I send the postage? Mm-hmm. It's not even debatable. Players like this don't get moved. They don't. And unlike Luka, there's no drinking. There's no laziness. It's not like Myles Garrett showed up to camp fat. It's not like Myles Garrett dogs it on a bad team. I just don't understand what it is in this town. I Kenny, to hell with you for making us do this topic to start the show. I would like to start the show by saying, here's a ticket text for me. Go to hell.
David's got a couple of interesting ones. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to start it like this.
I'll throw the number out and we can hear the ticket text. But how could you not want Myles Garrett? How? Hey, let me ask you a question there, Spank. Who's starting opposite Aiden? Who? You want to go to the free agent market? Get yourself another Davenpoop? Well, what do you want to do? You want to go draft a rookie? Maybe they could be another rake straw and just not play. Or, hear me out, crazy idea. Guy already enshrined in Canton at the peak of his powers. And all he wants to do is win, and all your culture's about is winning. I don't know, man. I need some time to think. You would create the most dominant pass rush duo in modern NFL history. Full stop. Think it over. It would be on par with the Super Bowl Broncos. Yeah, you're right. Let Brad cook. I cannot even believe we are on the air having to do this. Yesterday was a good show. We all wanted Myles Garrett. It was a conversation of how far do you want to go to get him. Now you got people saying a 1, a 2, and a 4, or a 1, a 2, and a player could get it done. Done. Even if I gave all of that up, never extended him, had him for 2 years. Done. Hell, tell you what, I traded all for 1 year of him. 15 sacks, 22 TFLs, and never once this year, never once would he be singled up.
You also would do it because you got a brand new defensive coordinator. And it's going to make his life so much easier that if you could put those two on a defensive line and just say, okay, guys, go get quarterback. Go That's meet it. That quarterback.
The principle of it all has been defined by Rico's team in the NFC over the last 5 years. Our four-man rush cannot be blocked by your five- or six-man protection. End. That is the system. I'm not demeaning Robert Saleh or D'Amico Ryans or Steve Wilkes or whoever. Or now they brought Saleh back. They have a system. Do you know why they can play cover three the way they do? They don't have to go man. They don't have to bring a ton of heat. Our four is better than your five.
Mike, yeah, how do you think the Eagles had their resurgence? You know what? We're just going to come after you with our defensive line and say, who are you going to double? Who are you going to stop? Now, theirs comes from the interior, but same principle. You can't stop both of these guys. You got to pick your poison.
I'm with you.
I know you are. I'm not mad at you. David, go ahead. Kenny said, yeah, ticket text. I'll listen.
I just think that.
I don't get it.
For some people, it's almost that Detroit versus everybody. We don't need anybody else to come in here.
Yeah, newsflash. Newsflash. You do.
We cut our own grass.
It's kind of how we went from being one of the most powerful cities in America to not in the top five. Yeah, we do need some help, okay?
Guys, let's see how Brad cooks in the draft and free agency before making any moves. Plus, the defense will look different with a new coordinator. That's from Jim C.
Yep, your brain is cooked. You know what you are? You're Ray Liotta at the end of Hannibal.
Wow.
You're eating your own brain, Jim. What? Hey, let's do a live look at Jim C.
That was only the first text.
Here, Jim, want another bite of your brain?
We may just need to.
If you don't get the reference, it's a terrible movie. Don't waste your time with it.
But yes, he does eat his own brain at the end.
Well, he's being fed his own brain. Yes. Go ahead.
Here, have another piece.
Here you go again. I would rather trade up in the draft to go get one of the Michigan interior linemen. Football is a young man's sport, especially with injuries and the salary cap. Not trading the best safety in football, Brian Branch. Garrett is 29, maybe if he was 25.
Then you don't trade Brian Branch. We're not having that discussion. I gave you what today's offers look like. The Niners would deal their first and second. You would deal your one, your two, and Hendon Hooker. You know what? Fine. Everything's fine. You're right. I forgot. When's the parade? Oh, wait. There isn't one. But that's okay, because I can lay the Lombardi trophy down next to me on my pillow. Let me just reach in your trophy case. I just can't.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Yeah, this is, you know what this is? Straight up Little House on the Prairie from you people. Yeah. Let me know when you want to move to the big city. Bunch of hillbillies.
Yeah,
Cornelius. That's just my Brad Cook. Morons. I'm not doing this. Be curious.
Let me do my.
Yeah, first. Yeah. Okay. You know what, Rico? You said it best.
All right, big part of what we're talking about today is Myles Garrett. He wants out of Cleveland. This has been brewing for years. He finally demanded a trade. We've envisioned what it would mean to put him opposite Aiden Hutchinson. Asking price, what would it take? Keep taking those phone calls and ticket texts, 248-539-9797. And then the obvious question, Brad Holmes, this would be going against draft and develop. Is it time to make that kind of move? John, you pointed out after the show yesterday that this week could have been very different for us.
Oh, yes.
Today would have been very different for us. We would have been hopping on a plane at the end of today's show to fly out to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Leaving on a jet plane.
No RV, sorry.
Nope, we would have been flying down to New Orleans. We had...
By the way, how many times has Lori told you, hey, there's a credit in your account, don't spend it?
Yes.
At least three times.
I mean, so they had to look ahead and actually get us plane reservations, tickets to go down to New Orleans.
By the way, you and I made the same joke to her.
At separate times.
Too late. Booked a flight to Tahiti or Hawaii or wherever.
Yeah, I know. That's what she texted me on Friday, and I said, I'm already on a plane. That's why I took the day off. I'm headed to Hawaii. Thank you very much. Quiet bonus. But yeah, we were supposed to be heading down to New Orleans. We had an Airbnb all booked. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a show outing, multiple shows, same house. It was going to be an absolute party.
That could have been something.
Oh, it would have been unbelievable. And yet now we are here. I'm going to go to Ann Arbor this afternoon and go home and probably go to a basketball game. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we'll be doing other than going down to New Orleans to celebrate the Lions' first trip to the Super Bowl.
We were going to be doing shows Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from New Orleans.
And you were actually going to the game, I believe.
Thank you for reminding me. Because Jimmy goes, don't worry, we're going to get you in. You'll be in the game. You'll be at the Super Bowl. There will be a pass. I start mentally kind of picturing what that would be like. And I know for some of you, you also had plans to be in New Orleans. You had hotels. You had flights. You had tickets in some cases. But even for some of you that didn't have New Orleans plans, You may have said you don't want to do a Super Bowl party. We asked you guys, and a lot of you said, I don't want to be at the typical Super Bowl party if the Lions are there. They don't want squares guy, and they don't want to get stuck in the food right. line and commercial person. You wanted to maybe be there with your dad and close friends or family, tight-knit group to kind of hunker down for an emotional watch. Now that the Lions aren't in the Super Bowl, how have your plans changed?
So in the Jansen house, I was not going to be going to the game. I was going to come home after the show on Friday. So the week plans have changed. I was also, we had planned ahead for the kids. They were not going to school on Monday. They are now going to school on Monday.
Sorry, kids.
And I mean, they can watch the game with us. They can watch it with friends. But yeah, it does. There's going to be no Super Bowl hangover for anyone. And I know there are a lot of people that probably took Monday off because they thought, yeah, I'm going to be partying hard.
Or even Sunday off for people who are, you know, work weekends and stuff. Right. You plan this well in advance.
Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, hey, we don't have a seat at the table and plans are changing. Whether it's, as you mentioned, if you had tickets to the Super Bowl, if you had flight reservations, if you had hotel reservations, have you kept them? If not, in the flight, okay, you can get a credit.
Mm-hmm.
The hotels, most of the time, especially, I mean, we knew
it's a chain.
3 weeks in advance, you can cancel your reservation. There's no penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets, there may have been a penalty that you paid because after it was decided that it was going to be the Eagles and Chiefs, instantly ticket prices dipped.
So you couldn't recoup.
You couldn't recoup.
You
full
still
price.
Get some.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But you're, you know, I mean, if you paid $6,000, maybe they were going for $5,200.
Yeah. Or $4,500.
Yeah, if you paid more. So if you did that and you looked into it, or if you have the Super Bowl tickets, or you know what? Hey, the Lions aren't there. I still have everything set up.
You still go?
Are you still going?
I couldn't imagine still going. You get what you can get on the market.
And when we did the whole Super Bowl plans, before the playoffs even started, we had one caller call from Oklahoma. I am driving to the Super Bowl. Yep. I don't have tickets. I'm going to go down there because I want to be there after the game when they win. And then I'm driving to Detroit for the parade. Obviously, those plans, have changed.
I know. And it hits you in different ways, right? Like, so they show Super Bowl Media Day yesterday and the sights and sounds from New Orleans. And you brought up we'd be on a flight today. You know what I think the win, though, is now you do the Super Bowl party. Because this is a Super Bowl you're not overly invested in. This is the perfect Super Bowl to go to a Super Bowl party.
To have the distraction?
Yeah, because if you miss something, I missed a stupid penalty on second down. You're just going to eat, and you're going to hang out, and you're going to laugh, and you're going to just not dwell on the Super Bowl. Otherwise, you're just going to be watching the Super Bowl thinking about all of the feelings, right? This is actually, in my mind, a good Super Bowl to go to a Super Bowl party.
I think you might be right. And because you don't have to be locked into every play. And I'm curious, Heather, has Colin come back to the football world yet?
Oh, well, he never left the world. Like we continued to watch the other games. Like we were watching
football.
He
just put all his Lion stuff in storage.
Yeah, that still has not come out.
Okay. We'll monitor.
But
he's going to watch the Super Bowl.
Oh, we're definitely going to watch it, but we don't have any plans. Like, it probably is just going to be the two of us. We'll just go down to the basement and watch it down. Like, which is fine by me. I got to wake up early on Monday anyway. So, okay, that's fine. But I don't know what we would have done if not, because that would not have been the case. He would not have wanted a big Super Bowl party either, because he wants to really watch the game. But we would have been with other people.
Ticket text 248-539-9797. Super Bowl party in Detroit. No one's having those. People hate these teams and nobody wants to, quote, party about this Super Bowl.
Okay,
people are going to have Super Bowl parties. Come on.
Super Bowl. Can we just rename it a Super Bowl gathering? Because the connotation
Shindig.
Of party is that there is something to celebrate, that there is going to be a party. And we're not going to have a party. But if it was, I'd still call it a party because I'm celebrating the football season. Even though our team is not in and is not invited to the party, it's still going to be a party for a great season.
One of these texts, not watching at all, no plans to make. The two most unlikable, annoying teams playing and very boring narratives. The only people that like this matchup are KC and Philly fans and sports talk media.
Yes, because it is the biggest moment in sports on the calendar. I mean, it just is. And whether you like the teams or not, it is still going to be the biggest sporting event of the year. Tell me one this year. It's not an Olympic year. It's, you know, that is bigger in the sports world.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
No, and these two teams played a good Super Bowl a couple years ago. I'm not going to sell you on it if you don't care, but.
Is this a World Cup year?
I don't think so.
Is it? Yeah. I don't think
so. Tom shaking
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to sell you on it. If you don't want to watch, you don't want to watch. But it was a really good game 2 years ago. It's two teams that were among the best all season long. It's two good quarterbacks, two good defenses. It's the last football game until the end of the season. I guess I am going to sell you on it a little bit. But do what you want to do. We're just curious if your plans have changed. Texture says they are still going. They booked in late October. Lance tells us he's going to represent the Kings of the North in attendance.
There you go.
In New Orleans.
Going to rock the Honolulu Blue? If you're going, would you wear Lions gear? Because there's going to be other fan bases there. It's a celebration of the NFL.
Yeah,
and there are going to be other fans that are there, and a majority of Kansas City and Philly fans. But if you're going and you're not a fan of one of the two, wouldn't you rock your NFL gear?
Yes, that's what most people do at these things.
Because I've never been to a Super Bowl. So, Tom, you've been to one. Is that how?
I've been to one game, and I've been on four trips. And it's changed a lot even since I went. This was quite a while ago. But
did you wear Lions gear?
I think I had a shirt with me on the trip when we went. I mean, yeah. Look.
A shirt? Yeah, I hope you didn't go.
I was working.
Unclothed.
You know, so I don't really remember what I wore 20 years ago, to be honest with you. But, no, you witness other people wearing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, back then, it was even more professional than it is now in terms of you're not supposed to wear team gear if you're in the media.
Right.
Like, you know, that whole stupid taboo that's loosened up and stuff. But, no, I mean, look, I hated you guys. I didn't want to say anything about that. You guys missed out so much, just personally. It is being in the Super Bowl city on Super Bowl weekend leading up, especially it gets cranking Thursday. It is just a spectacle. I can't imagine what New Orleans was like. The best one I went to was San Diego. It was a great host city because everything was compacted, kind of like New Orleans is, so I'd imagine it'd be the same, too. But the things you see, the atmosphere in the team hotels is just unreal. The people you see, you meet, many people I've met in my life that are pretty famous were on those Super Bowl trips.
I mean, maybe what most people could relate to would be the last time Detroit hosted the Super Bowl, just from a buzz standpoint, but that was, what, like 06? Something like that. It's been a long time. John pointed out, in an alternate universe, we are hopping on a plane after the show today to head down to New Orleans with the Lions playing on Sunday.
Let the party begin.
That was the plan. We're going to be down at shared Airbnb with other shows. We're going to be building up to the Super Bowl. Tom is making us feel bad, going, oh, you guys really missed out.
Yeah.
I'm meeting celebrities, movers and shakers, partying, the vibes, Super Bowl. There's nothing like it. And we've asked you guys, how have your plans changed? It can be that you had tickets or you had a hotel or you had flights. It could be that you weren't planning on going to a Super Bowl party, but now maybe you're more open to it because you're not going to be invested the same way you would be. And this is, I said it's a good Super Bowl to go to a Super Bowl party where you're not going to be fixated on the result or an individual play. You're just going to go and be with friends and hang out.
Yeah, and the game will, in essence, be wallpaper. You'll be paying attention, but if you miss something that happened, you look up and you say, oh, hey, how come, why is it 3-0? I mean, so who got the field goal? You know,
it's a fumble and they kicked the field goal.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And so I think there's going to be a lot of that going on.
248-539-9797. We go to Travis in Detroit. You're still going.
What up, though, fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
What up, though?
We're doing all right.
Good. Yeah, man, I'm going. I was blessed with two tickets from the NFL's social equity division. And I'm taking my 23-year-old son. But I'm going to tell you, it's a letdown. I asked him if he still wanted to go, and he was like, yeah, because I was just, I knew that we were going. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we're still going. We leave off Friday. We come back Monday. I'm going to rock my Barry Sanders jersey. I know I'm going to hear all the flack. I'm prepared for it, but it's not the same, you know, as if we were going. It would just been more magical. So I'm glad to be going, but It's a letdown, and I know that sounds like, man, you going to the Super Bowl and you say it's a letdown, but
it is, though.
It really is.
Well, I think everybody listening understands your perspective.
It's going to be so weird.
It is, yeah.
Like later in life, where you go, I went to the Super Bowl, but man, was it not what I wanted it to be? Yeah.
Travis, absolutely. Are you staying in New Orleans?
Yes, I am. Yeah, the NFL's Inspire Change and the NFL Shield, they recognize some of the work that I do when they came up for the draft this past spring. Oh, wow. And, yeah. So it's just been a blessing. And then I treated it as if, you know how a Major League Baseball game, when that pitcher is going for that no-no and everybody moves away and you don't say anything. So I haven't been saying anything because I didn't want to blow it, like for the Lions. You know what I'm saying? So
you don't want to jinx them. Yeah, you're not like right, exactly. Not like Costa with the double-digit disco.
Absolutely, exactly.
Now, hold on one second. You were discoing. I love how this has become my cross to bear on the station.
John, well, you're the one flying the flags for the Wings, and yesterday we got all of it. What is Costa going to do to ruin this run? Yes, I was on board as well.
You're quick to throw me under the bus. Some ticket text, 248-539.
That's what friends do, right?
Yes. Ticket texters say, if I bought tickets to the big game, I would still go, and I would represent with my Hutch jersey with a big sign that says, Ohio State hasn't beat Michigan in 1,898 days.
That sign's popping up everywhere. There was a Royal Rumble, yeah.
I originally had taken Monday as a vacation day, but now that the Lions aren't in the Super Bowl, I'm going back to work. Caleb and Macomb.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah. Friend and I are going to the UP going snowmobiling. Fresh powder, beautiful trails, make something of it.
The greatest Super Bowl viewing that I've ever had. A buddy and I went up to Minnesota. We were ice fishing on Lake of the Woods, and I watched it from the lake. It was, obviously you're not going to be watching it while you are snowmobiling, but you could snowmobile up until, you know, there's some great bars that you could snowmobile to.
That's awesome.
Watch it and then snowmobile home. That would be awesome.
Diehard Lions fan. It sucks the last 2 years for the Lions. Good in many ways, though. There is one champ, and just because my team fell short, it's not going to deny me the last football game of the year and a chance to bet on the NFL. Brad in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Don't let the Commanders beat you twice. Don't let them take football away from you. This one says, I go to the Frozen Four. You see jerseys from every college team, even the teams that aren't there, Tex and DTW.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be what it's like. And I'm glad to hit confirmation from Tom, who's been to a Super Bowl, that you see fans from all over the NFL. This is a celebration of the NFL season. You're mostly going to see Chiefs and Eagles fans, but I got to believe all 32 teams will be represented in the crowd.
You're right. You never know what you're going to run into, and we have more access than a typical person does. But like, I remember an experience in San Diego on the Saturday night. Me, Stoney, and one of our engineers at the time went out to eat just some random low-key restaurant, weren't looking for anything fancy. And sitting just a couple tables over was Joe Millionaire. Do you remember the show Joe Millionaire?
I remember you saying this story before, yeah.
It was a reality show at the time. One of the biggest.
But he wasn't actually a millionaire, but they were trying to date him like he was.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And this was in the moment of that show, basically. And I'm like, what's he doing here? It's like the random sightings that you would see or random things that you would get to do or just that's what makes it. I mean, I remember getting to talk to like a Michael Irvin for just 10 minutes. Just talk. Not in something professional, nothing.
No interview or anything.
He's a great personality, you know. You can think whatever you want, but man, I'll never be able to do stuff like that. And even other people, like that's a thing. You get we get access, we get a little spoiled to that kind of stuff, but
sure.
Just your every Joe fan gets to see access to these people, like in team hotels and things like that. It's just the whole fan experience thing that they have, and you know, you can do all sorts of things like, you know, kick field goals and stuff like that. And
oh, you could be one of the Mannings.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, have we determined in that the kick of destiny, which kind of nauseates me, and in the first 2 years it was Gronk, right? And he didn't make one.
Yeah.
Now you have a Manning, and we all, you know, hear the reads, all that stuff. What if both of them miss?
Check the fine print. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean,
do we think that either of these guys is actually going to make a field goal?
Why not? I've seen the commercials. Eli was training as a kid. He always wanted to be a kicker, and then he had to settle for being a quarterback.
Right. You guys remember the Miller Lite girls?
Maybe.
That was San Diego, too. So the big commercial at the time were these two women that looked basically like porn stars and barely had any clothes on were going around Radio Row doing interviews.
Oh, that sounds like the Grammys.
Or Stone. Oh, this one. So, you know, Mark Schlereth, he did stuff for ESPN. Yeah. Now he has a talk show, I think Denver. And
former Redskin.
So anyways, I'm with him, and I'm with Stoney and Wojo. And so Stoney was always worried about the next guest instead of who he was interviewing. So he's literally not even looking at Mark Schlereth, and he's looking around and stuff like that. And Stoney called him out with Schlereth there on the air. Say, Stoney, show some respect.
Hey,
here.
Come on now. Pay attention. Yeah.
Imagine that. Stoney not making eye contact. Yeah. Shocking to everyone, I'm sure.
Look, we don't bring it up because, you know, it's painful for us. We bring it up because I think we can all relate to the shared experience of having to kind of on the fly make some different plans for the Super Bowl.
So, interesting exercise put together by The Athletic where they took all the beat writers of Myles Garrett needy teams, put together trade proposals, sent them off to Cleveland. Detroit's did not get accepted. The Washington Commanders trade was the one that they were most likely to do, the beat writer for Cleveland. And these are opinions, okay? I don't want to overstate what these actually are, but Detroit's offer was 2 firsts, a third, and Hendon Hooker for Garrett and a fourth, I believe it was. And, you know, I mean, there were other deals that were really interesting. Chicago had their first and second this year and their first next year. That's the pick at 10 and the pick at 41. They would have had, given Cleveland 4 picks in the first 41 and a second first rounder next year. Washington's included 2 players, an O lineman, a D lineman, and 3 picks. I like Buffalo's trade proposal, which included AJ Epineza and Kyir Elam and 3 picks. But look, the question is that GM right that yesterday that told Diana Rossini it's not going to be one of these crazy multi first round pick deals, or is this stuff more right that it's gonna? There's got to be some sting to it for me to think that it's actually realistic. The other part of this is, I just can't shake this feeling that they're a Super Bowl contender by standing pat, and what they're trying to do and what they think. I keep saying, do I think the Lions can win a Super Bowl with this team? My answer is yes. I do think they can win a Super Bowl with this team. If I think they can win a Super Bowl with this team, what we're talking about giving up is the things that make it sustainable, the things that make it so you can win multiple Super Bowls and always be in the mix. But some people want to, and I can understand this because we'll get the calls of people who will say the following. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. Great. So when you're trying to win a Super Bowl, you're willing to, quote, give up just about anything, it seems.
Well, I think there is that, but there's also, if you're just giving up draft capital, then you're adding to the team with a monstrously good player, which would increase your odds significantly of winning the Super Bowl. Is this roster good enough right now to contend? Yeah, absolutely. When they're healthy, they're absolutely good enough to contend. But if I'm going to add this piece to it, it dramatically increases those odds.
It does, and it actually establishes a window that is more likely to close. But 248-539-9797. Let's go to Kyle next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
Hey.
I was listening in, and I don't believe that we need Myles Garrett because we have such a young roster, and yes, we should be in win-now mode, but look at how that's happened with other teams, bringing in older people that need, you know, that last bit of hope. So I don't want someone like Myles Garrett. And plus, you also think that, like,
why don't you want somebody like Myles Garrett? What about Myles Garrett does not appeal to you?
His attitude.
His attitude?
Yeah, he has an attitude.
What's the attitude Myles Garrett has?
It's just
that he wants to win?
I don't know. I just don't think we need him, honestly.
I haven't seen anything about a bad attitude. I don't know that they need him to win a Super Bowl. He would, if the tires, you know, my existence, if it was win the Super Bowl next year or Doug dies, I'd trade for Myles Garrett. I'd also try and trade for Cooper Kupp. I would trade for everybody I could possibly find. And, but I haven't heard anything bad about his attitude.
There you go.
Kyle?
Well, I think if we do trade for him, I don't want to trade outlandish picks. We don't need to trade our future away for a guy that we could have for 4 years. Like, I want stability.
I think that adds to the stability. If you're You're talking 3 or 4 years with Myles Garrett. I don't think you're losing a ton off this team on the back end of this because you can't afford to pay everybody. You might lose a player or two, but the player you're getting is the best player in the NFL on defense, or at least arguably.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things about, and I know this isn't, it rings hollow in a town that's never won a Super Bowl, but there's certain things like overkill. Like you're paying a price to try and make yourself like 100% sure you're going to win a Super Bowl when that's not necessarily even possible to be 100% sure you're going to win a Super Bowl.
I understand that mentality if we were talking about the Lions going after Cooper Kupp. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a clear weakness on the defense, which isn't overkill. This is the defense is the weakness on this team, period, let alone it's narrowed down to the defensive end position outside of Aiden Hutchinson.
I would be on board if that was a healthy defense that got shredded. The defense was pretty darn good before they started losing pieces, including arguably one of the players that's as good as Myles Garrett.
But they still weren't they were only getting pressure from Aiden Hutchinson. They still had a problem on the other side.
And that problem can be addressed with something that's less than Myles Garrett and still not cut into your future.
Well, I'm not sure how much I'm cutting into the future if you're going to go with Myles Garrett other than draft capital.
It depends. Well, that's actually cutting into the future. That's what draft capital is the future.
You just said the word that I was just going to say, Doug, and I think like overkill is the word I was looking for as well, because I would love Myles Garrett here too. I mean, clearly, he's one of the best defensive players in the game. You put him opposite Hutch. Oh my God, right? But I think it's a lot of flash and name recognition is blinding people from the fact that when healthy, that team constructed last year was probably one of the, if not the best rosters in the league. They're going to come back next year, and they're going to be one of the favorites to make the Super Bowl, along with the two teams in the Super Bowl this year. Hutchinson, Kirby Joseph, Brian Branch, all those guys coming back. Ali McNeil healthy. You have Campbell with another year, with Anzalone, right? Terrion Arnold another year on his belt. Amik Robertson, a revelation at the end of his year, kind of by being able to play outside. That roster right there is good enough to win the Super Bowl. I bet you Brad Holmes believes that as well. They won 15 games with a depleted version of that defense.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 to take it. Tons of feedback coming in on this possibility of a Myles Garrett deal, which is still really, I mean, it's tough because, these conversations get going. We don't know what the asking price is actually going to be. If the Browns have said and they maintain this position, hey, we're not trading him, and I'm okay, cool. But if the man demands a trade, and what does that lead to? Does that lead to him sitting out if he doesn't accept the trade, or does he have no choice but to go ahead and play? And then you get into, all right, we can sit here and come up with reasonable deals. One team goes over the top and you have to beat that deal. And the Lions, you just know Brad Holmes is going to walk away. You just know Brad Holmes is going to walk away from a deal that would cut too much into his draft capital. It's just, you can be F them picks and you can be too much. If one team goes really, really deep into their draft capital, I think Brad Holmes saying yes to any kind of trade like that is unlikely, but I'm not sure he would be okay with some draft capital going the other direction. But I mean, he has traded draft picks in the past. He's never just done a massive trade like the kind of trade it would take to get Myles Garrett.
Well, they also haven't been in a position to do it. He was building a team. He's building a foundation, and they've done that. He was building a roster. Now the roster is built. Now you can go ahead and make a big splash if you want. But I agree with you. If the price becomes ridiculous, then walk away.
I mean, look, some of this
he's going to have is cutoff moment for sure.
How about this? The Lions should do whatever they have to get Garrett.
Well, no. They have to within reason.
Yeah, well, that's the debating point is what's in reason. This guy says the Lions should do whatever they have to get Garrett. The offense is going to go backwards. They're going to have to rely on the defense. This would be the step in the right direction. Still would need secondary help to be a solid contender. So you're going to get Garrett and get secondary help. I mean, I don't know where the cap space is coming from, but here you go. The only untouchable, this is the next one. The only untouchable for Garrett is Penei Sewell. I would trade anybody and everybody else for him. Anybody and everybody. So you're trading multiple players not named Penei Sewell.
Well, that's getting a little
to trade Aiden Hutchinson, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Just leave it at that. Yeah. You don't have to go any further because then it's crazy territory, even though you already entered crazy territory offering up those two players.
Justin in Madison Heights says, we've also never seen Za'Darius Smith opposite of Hutch. So it feels like Za'Darius Smith came to Detroit, and what did we say, five sacks? Was it five sacks, 5.5 sacks?
He had four with the Lions, but four he had, with, like, I think, five with Cleveland.
When he was playing opposite of Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a 10-sack guy opposite of Aiden Hutchinson, is that an acceptable edge rusher, Robin to the Batman? Because that's what it feels like they would have got last year, Za'Darius, for a full season. Every year, Za'Darius does get a little older, and so... Could he do that? Do they add to the pool of edge rushers in another way, whether it be with a draft pick or a trade or a free agent signing? Unnamed texter, seems like folks are loving the name on the back of the jersey more than raising trophies / banners. That's for fantasy leagues. So you're saying they're so obsessed with getting Myles Garrett that they care more about that than winning Super Bowls? I think they tell you the reason they want to get Myles Garrett is they think that would assure them a Super Bowl.
I think that's what all fans would think.
Well, I don't think it would assure them a Super Bowl if you're giving up Penei Sewell or Aiden Hutchinson and Jahmyr Gibbs.
If you're talking about just adding Myles Garrett and what you're sending the other way would be draft picks, I think that's what people are thinking.
Lions don't need Garrett to win. Didn't need Garrett to win 15 games last season, but can you imagine what he would do for Minnesota, Green Bay, Washington, or even Chicago? We need him to simply for the simple fact that we aren't playing against him.
Well, would they have needed him against Washington a few weeks ago?
Oh, he would have helped.
I mean, would have helped tremendously.
So here's the thing about here's the thing about that is. If a team in the AFC, Cleveland's going to want to trade him to the NFC. And if he wants to go to a Super Bowl contender, we've already discussed, you know, there's a Green Bay proposal. There's a Chicago proposal. I think there was a San Francisco proposal I never got to. Yeah, there was a San Francisco proposal that the Cleveland beat writer said no to. I mean, these are some teams that could become a problem.
There are odds out already about the next team to land Myles Garrett. And Cleveland is number one that they wouldn't get rid of. If you're going to bet, Cleveland is at plus 300. This is according to DraftKings Sportsbook through covers.com. The number two team behind Cleveland are the Commanders at plus 450. Then it's the Raiders at plus 650. Then the Lions at plus 750. So interesting there because the Commanders would be the first team outside of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And obviously, that's the NFC team, and that's a team that, of course, he would do wonderful there. Be an excellent addition to any team. But to a team that got to the NFC Championship game and couldn't stop anything that Philadelphia threw at him, I mean, that was an embarrassing effort by Washington's defense.
There is a part of me that is fascinated with the way Brad Holmes has done this so far and kind of wants to see Brad Holmes do Brad Holmes things. And see if he is really this good at the draft that they are just simply around for a long period of time doing this stuff, competing for Super Bowls every single year if you just let him cook in the draft.
Well, what if I offered you this and let him cook in the draft, which, okay, so I'm not going to take away any draft capital.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to trade anybody. What if I said the Lions should just pass on the Myles Garrett stuff because the cost is going to be too high. But go ahead and make a full court press for Khalil Mack.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. That sounds probably more up, if we're talking about what I expect Brad Holmes to actually do, it's more that than give up the farm for Myles Garrett.
Because Khalil Mack seems to me like that's a player that's going to be, he's entering free agency. We'll see if the Chargers want to bring him back or not, but I don't think his price tag is going to be anywhere near as high as maybe what you thought of going into it because he is further along in his NFL career, but he's also still a very good pass rusher, and that's what you'd be asking him to do here with the Lions. And it'd be you would have him and Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah, I think that would be That sounds more up the alley of what Brad Holmes is thinking. And I think it could be a very, very smart move that could push them over the top.
Do a 2-year, $30 million deal or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, the second year is where it gets sketchy because of their cap situation in year two. But if you front load it or...
Again, they have options of to put that off. But, I mean, if you were to sign a free agent like Mac, it's not, you're not giving them like a 3 or 4 year deal. It'd probably be a 1 or 2 year deal.
Yep. 248-539-9797. More of your feedback coming in. There's a ton of feedback on Trey Young.
I got to tell you, this is a very special occasion. So a couple of weeks ago, you remember the famous, now famous, Kennicott hot dog roller incident.
Mm-hmm.
TJ was blown away by the existence that Kenny owned a hot dog roller. Well,
no, blown away by the location.
Mm. Right, his living room, which now we have confirmed there is, I don't know how he lives there, being that this thing has stunk up the whole office.
Oh, yeah, I smelled it coming right through the door.
100%. Yeah. So, with the Super Bowl this weekend, with TJ's last appearance, we wanted to have a throwdown. These are two gentlemen that, well, they're big into hot dogs. And we just said, okay, Kenny, now's your time, champ. Bring the roller to the office. I gave Kenny a per diem to purchase the appropriate things. And it's Kenny versus TJ by the time TJ leaves after who said it. Who can eat more hot dogs? Now, I want to say, TJ, A, showed fear. He was afraid that Kenny was going to devastate him in this contest.
That's false.
You said he's going to eat 12 of them. I said
I have to go to a daddy-daughter dance tonight. I don't want 11 hot dogs in my stomach.
You can't eat 11.
That's not fear. That's concern about
your blazer.
My plans that I have tonight and my suit jacket that I got to fit into.
FanDuel has listed you vomiting at daddy-daughter tonight at plus 260, so it's very exciting. Come on.
I'm not afraid of Kent. No, there's no chance. Like, if I had nothing to do tonight and I could throw down probably a dozen.
Okay, but hold on. He's not even
getting close to that.
You got to eat more than him. That's all we're asking.
See?
You got to beat him in his own game. He's been very confident.
He's already a couple bites in. I didn't know he got started already.
The competitive nature of athletes kicks in.
Listen, he is not going to lose.
I don't know if I still have the record, but there used to be a hot dog place. I think it was like Hippo's Hot Dog out on the like Royal Oak. I think I ate like 9 Chicago-style dogs once.
Oh, jeez.
And those were nasty, too, like with the peppers and tomatoes and pickles.
Wait, did Kenny put the salsa on your plate?
No. We're waiting for it to cool down.
Now, okay. Another reference from a couple weeks ago. Now, listen.
It's boiling.
All condiments are available. You have chosen plain.
Yeah.
That's the strategy going through this hour.
Yeah. Can I get a cup of water too? Or are we doing this official?
Would you like a pop? Would you like water?
That's a little too heavy. I was kind of thinking about like a cup of water to dip the bun into.
Yeah, but you're not going to eat that many. What are you, Kobayashi?
I'm going to eat more than Kenny.
I don't know what he's capable of. Well,
it's like one of his major food groups.
He's done. Kenny won. You haven't taken your first bite. And the clock's ticking. So, also, gentlemen, you have to factor in conversation as a part of this. We can't just watch you eat hot dogs.
That's why he wants the water. I'm like, man, TJ's about to get serious over here.
This is not as bad, though, as that spicy chicken wing thing we did.
Oh, like, my dear God.
5 years ago.
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, my God. Were you not here yet, Joe?
He had
one of the guys mix up this crazy concoction, how spicy like he could make it. And we were doing, I think it was me and Sully.
It was.
And we tried the sauce, and right before Mike was like, hey, even if it's not that spicy, like, just play it up for the air. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'll just have to act, pretend.
No.
That burned for like 3 days.
Really? TJ had a problem.
It was terrible.
Yeah, Will also tried it.
The Burger King kid did try it.
He was like, oh, this is nothing. He had like two or three of them, and then he just sat out there in misery after the show
was off. So basically, it was a medium sauce.
No, it was a spot. I can't imagine anything getting spicier than that.
It was repugnant. I mean, I smelling it 6 feet away, you would cough.
Legit hell.
Okay, so while TJ...
These buns are kind of like... I don't like the dog-to-bun ratio.
Kenny?
Way too much bun.
Wah. Oh, jeez. Okay.
What'd he say?
Wah. All right, game on.
It's a bread-eating contest. Look at this. Like, the hot dog's 10% of them.
I want to start with this while you're getting to work on your first hot dog. Also, tell Evan there's going to need to be more hot dogs on the roller.
You two are about to get serious. Oh,
those have been already been replaced. We're all set.
So I wanted to ask about, Amon Ra made a comment about Myles Garrett that I thought was pretty common sense, which was like, look, if you add him to our D-line, you don't need corners. But
yeah, he literally said that.
Did you see what Aiden said? And I wanted your view because Rico and I were surprised. Mm-hmm. Meaning great players, when they're asked about, hey, would you like to have this great player? Never heard a guy say no. Here's what
he
Aiden
said. No?
Well,
oh, I didn't see this.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Everyone's been asking me about that. I don't know. I don't think you can't have that many guys on the D-line. I don't know, but I think it's very unlikely. Close quote.
You can't have that many? Like, you can't have enough?
No. You can't have that many dudes on the D-line.
What, like a
basically
like
saying
it wouldn't be fair to have that many.
There's
guys.
Only one football, is what it sounds like. And he goes,
there's only so many people you can have on a D line.
And he said, I think it's very unlikely. Like, generally speaking, wouldn't you just say, hey, man, that's Brad's department. But if you're asking me, hey, man, would love to have him. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. Full stop, game on, move on.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
I mean, I don't disagree with him that it's probably unlikely. I mean, it's
why
out
do
of
you
the-
say that? Take us through.
Because of what it's going to cost. I mean, we've seen Brad, like, the last couple years take a couple risks, right, with Carlton Davis trade. Hey, we got a hole to fill.
A third, right.
Myles Garrett, to me, would be like a luxury, not necessarily a massive need.
Who's playing opposite Aiden?
Well, that's a good question. I mean,
Myles Garrett, that's who.
I would love to have Myles Garrett. There's 32 teams. I mean, Cleveland doesn't want to give him
right? No, hold on. Time out. He wants to play for a winner.
Yeah.
Now we're down to about six teams. Because you know what else? They ain't trading him in the AFC.
Yeah.
There's no way. So look, here, I look at it and we talked about this. No one knows the true cost. But if we go on what's been put out there so far by different reporters, websites, whatever. A one, a two, Hendon Hooker. You doing it?
In a heartbeat.
Okay. Yeah. So now return to the Aiden thing.
In a heartbeat, yeah.
Compare what Aiden said to Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs of the Packers is like, look, I got love for all our guys, but we need a dog. We need a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, well, that's where you get some, and I know Aiden's still young, but that's where you get some veteran, like, you know, PR, let's do it the right way. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus on my team. Right, because I've been through it before where you will get asked about, hey, this guy's a free agent. This guy, you know, you guys have been linked to this guy. And if you go out there and say, oh, hell yeah, like, we need this guy, that's kind of sending a bad message to the other guys in the team, right? So if you're going to go out there, I think, and I don't know for sure, but part of you, maybe if you're Aiden, is like, I don't want to make the other guys in my D-line room feel like they're not good enough or they're not wanted.
See,
right?
I'm looking
but that's where you could say, hey, if it happens – yeah, DJ. Obviously he's a great player, but you know what I mean? There's a part of you as a player that's like, hey, if
Amon Ra did that, Amon Ra, when they asked him, hey, yeah, we want to get him here. And then they said, well, who are you trading? And he left that alone.
Right, exactly.
He left that alone, but he was just like, you got to get him here. You bring him here. We don't need corners anymore.
Yeah.
He wouldn't answer the fact of who you're going to trade because he knows at that point you're going to make somebody under the bus. Yeah,
exactly.
But to sit there and be like, yeah, you know, we're good enough.
You don't need them. Yeah, which is, I mean, like I said, that's part of going back to, you know, I don't want my guys in that group to feel like.
TJ, is it overly simplistic of just thinking, you know what, maybe he's thinking, look, my contract's coming up. I don't need him here. I don't need him stealing some of the shine from me.
Well, I think.
I'm trying to get paid.
I mean, I'm not trying to be out of bounds here, but I think with certain players, quarterbacks, edge rushers, corners, certainly there comes like a bit of an ego thing, right? So, you take pride in being the lead dog, right? You're like, hey, man, this is my team. This is my D-line. But that shouldn't prevent you from wanting to play with another, you know, Hall of Fame type guy. Like, I was always under the impression, like, hey, more talent we can bring in, it's going to raise competition, you know? And
if you're going to be the odd man out, like, it just is what it is. Say no to a great player. And again, the easiest way out for Aiden, guys, that's Brad's department. But Myles Garrett's a Hall of Fame player. Hey, love to have him.
Yeah.
And you're
was
not
there video?
It.
Was there video with that?
We do not have any video.
Because I was going to say, maybe if you, reading it and sometimes watching it, right, you get two different senses.
And listen, I'm reading the words. The part I didn't understand is you can't have that many dudes on the D-line. Stop. No disrespect to John Kaminsky.
No, I know. And he's obviously players. That's player speak, right? That's coach talk. Hey, we love the guys we got here.
But
us
no
on the
point,
outside, we watched the Washington game where I don't think anybody won a one-on-one
the
entire
game. No one's
going
to mistake the Lions D-line this year for the Purple People Eaters of the 70s.
And look at, I mean, look at Philly. Like, every year it seems like they load up on the D-line.
How
look
about
at,
my Giants that won the Super Bowl? They had eight D-line.
San Francisco was doing it, right? Like, their third and fourth D-ends were
TJ,
guys
the other
that
thing
were,
is this. It's Myles like, Garrett. Pros. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's a six-time All-Pro. He's a Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Yeah,
they didn't ask him, do you want Crackhead Bob on your team?
Yeah, I mean, he's a top five, probably top three player in the league.
He's a monster.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I obviously can't speak on Aiden's intentions there, but I do know that there is some player speak sometimes that's like, hey, if it works out, obviously we'd love to have the guy. But first of all, let's kind of temper expectations, right? And second of all, you know, I don't want my guys in that building, in my position group, feeling like, oh, Aiden's going out here saying we need to trade for somebody else. What does that mean about me, right? I don't know what his intentions are, but
it's weird, TJ.
I think it's the weird part is just I think we're on the same page. Like, you don't have that many dudes on the D line. You know what I mean?
Right,
Aleem
I count,
obviously was
I count
right,
two,
the dog.
And I'll be nice. I count two and a half. Bob Muhammad's not bad.
And by the Aquadine.
Yeah, he had some moments.
But
yeah,
you Oh my God.
Oh, he had some moments, yeah.
You were for his a role PR
player.
Rep.
No, yeah. For a role player, he was really nice. But do I want
what
is he gonna
you
be a guy playing 60 snaps a game? Like
or Amandine.
At the end of the year, you found out you didn't have enough D linemen.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You did.
And, you know, obviously when you're missing Aleem and Hutch, it makes everybody else's play
that's
better
that's
because
the way those, I look at it.
When you're missing those guys. Yeah, we didn't have anybody else.
If I'm Aiden
anything,
and
right?
I had Myles Garrett and I know Aleem's coming back, you know what I'm looking at? 20 sacks. I'm looking at $35 million a year in the biggest deal in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
Instead, I got to read this. Ah, well, listen, you know, I can't. Hey, they asked Fred Warner. Here's the difference. They asked Fred Warner. First of all, he popped a boner. And then second of all, he goes, oh, yeah, we're going to be chopping it up. Full court press. I want him.
Yeah.
He wasn't worried about Amandine Muhammad. He goes, it's Myles effing Garrett.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm...
Hey, Garcon, hot dog, please.
Yeah,
time,
I'm with you.
Time for TJ.
And Aiden doesn't seem to be the type of kid that's, like, ego-driven, right? But you do kind of hear that, and it's... I mean, I can't help but to think, like, hey, this is kind of my show, right? This is my defense. This is my D-line. Which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
TJ getting spicy.
But also the players, too, is like, you know what? You hear rumors all the time. You hear, oh, you're linked to this player, this free agent. I've fallen into the trap before of getting too excited and getting overly just enthusiastic about it and maybe talking about it where I shouldn't have because then it doesn't work out and you're like, oh, man, like this guy's probably going to be a little pissed at me, right? Like I maybe just kind of hurt a relationship, right? But by speaking too soon. So maybe his point was just, hey, I don't know if it's going to happen, unlikely, but hey, if it does happen – right.
All right.
Then I can speak about excitement and speak about optimism. And
we're going to get you another hot dog.
Loving playing with a guy like
that. And we're going to talk Super Bowl because you said something and I think you expressed a feeling that all of America's feeling. We're going to do that next. We need.
Can I get a hot dog?
How long do these things take? Excuse me. We're doing live radio.
It's been 15 minutes.
Get him another one, please. Get him two. Two for one. And then throw more on this thing. Get it moving. TJ, hungry.
I mean, if we're having one every 15 minutes, Kenny.